Turn straight in your Bibles to John chapter 9. Jesus said in verse 5, Alex just quoted it, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" And some claimed he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." And then moving forward to the end of the chapter in verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." So this morning I want to speak to you about opening your eyes to the apostolic. Opening your eyes to the apostolic. So this amazing miracle happens, not because of any particular sin the man had done or because of the sin of his parents, because it was a divine moment in God for the glory of God to be revealed. And Jesus uses offensive means, if you like, with his spit and with the mud, to open the man's eyes. More than that, he caused the man to have to go and wash, a little bit like the Old Testament man who had to go and wash in the dirty Jordan River. This man had to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the pool of Siloam means sent. John is keen to tell us. The word used actually is apostolic or apostol, which means to go or to be sent. So there is a spiritual story that Jesus is pointing out through this miracle, as often is the case, that goes beyond just the natural opening of a man's eyes. Jesus has come and has said, "I am the light of the world." In fact, previously, in verse 3, he said, "This has happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." I think something more was going on in this man's life than just having a natural miracle, as phenomenal as it was. I think Jesus was destining that man for a unique purpose in his kingdom. It says, "This has happened so that the work of God may be displayed in that man's life." And you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and stirs the waters of our experience, doesn't he? We come together in worship and we feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we need the Lord to take it a step further, to spit on the ground, to wash it in some mud, to put it on our eyes, so we can see why he came. And the Lord comes so that we may see that he's come to display God's work in that man's life, or God's work in our life. And in this case, he's coming to demonstrate that there is a purpose, not only for this man, but for that generation of people at that time. Which is why he says, "For judgment I've come into this world, that the blind may see, and those that think they can see will actually become blind." So, turn with me now, that's just an introduction, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 15. "For this reason," Paul says to the Ephesian church, "ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." For this reason, Paul says, I'm praying that your eyes will be opened. Just like that man at the pool of Siloam, there was a reason why Jesus wanted to open his eyes. for the glory of God to be revealed, for the works of God to be displayed in that man's life, and for God to speak to that present generation. Paul similarly prays to the church at Ephesus, for the church at Ephesus. He says, for this reason, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart would be opened, that you may know. So for what reason? That's what I ask when I read those things. What reason is the reason Paul's praying it? Well, back up with me to earlier in that chapter from verse 8 onward. It says, verse 9, and he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Isn't that a comfort today, that in all that's going on in this planet Earth, and Great Britain right now is going through an almighty shaking, turned inside out and upside down, God is working all things together in conformity to his will and purpose. There is nothing that is not Father filtered. And he's doing it so that he can reveal, just like that blind man, he can reveal the works of God for our generation. Sometimes we have to go to the brink before we see the salvation of God. And so Paul is saying, for this reason, what reason? The purpose of God to be revealed. I'm praying for you that you'll have your eyes open to the apostolic. Because the apostolic is all about the purpose of God coming into this world. You know, if I said to you today, there's a prophet going to be here, you'd expect him to prophesy. If I said to you today, there's an evangelist, you'd expect him to evangelize. If I said to you today, there's a pastor, you'd expect him to shepherd. If I said to you today, there's a teacher coming, you'd be taught. But the word apostle does all kinds of funny things with people's heads, doesn't it? How can an apostle apostle? Have you noticed it's the only word that, it's like a hot potato. No one seems to know what to do with it, Alex. Because all the other words, they're doing words. But this one doesn't quite have that way about it. But Jesus said to the man at the pool of Siloam, I'm going to put some spit and mud in your eyes to open your eyes to the apostolic. Go and wash in the apostolic pool. What does that mean? I think it means what Paul's praying. He's saying, I'm praying for you guys, Ephesian church, Bridgend church, to have your eyes opened to something mighty that God wants to do. And it goes beyond prophecy, as great as prophecy is. It goes beyond evangelism, as awesome as evangelism is. It goes beyond the need of shepherding the people, as wonderful and as needful as that is. And it goes beyond teaching, as vital as teaching is. Because this is the main thing. We've got to know why we're here. Vine, you've got to know what on earth you're doing here. Do you ever wonder that sometimes? What on earth am I doing here? And God wants to open our eyes and wash us that we may see the apostolic. Because there's something apostolic that God wants to do in Great Britain. And that's why the nation right now has gone through three ruling leaders. Not one, which would have been obvious, the Queen. Not two, which is quite obvious, the Queen and Boris Johnson. But three, and the third one only lasting the best part of 45 days. Because God wants us to wash in something, to have our eyes opened, that he wants to bring an apostolic move of God into the nation. And it's going to go beyond the prophetic, go beyond the evangelistic, go beyond the need for nurture and for care and for teaching. It's going to cause God's people to rise to his eternal purpose for the church on planet Earth. So Paul's praying for this because he knows it can get a little bit mysterious, the apostolic. He's got to break it down for them to understand. And by God's grace, in the next few minutes, I want to break it down for the vine to understand that you're called to something bigger than this. You're called to have your eyes opened and yourself washed in the apostolic, that you can see it in some way, shape, or form, and say as a church, we want to run after that together. Because this is what God's doing in the earth. So Paul says, for this reason, I'm praying that you'll have the eyes of your heart opened. So it says that God is working everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So I want you to imagine with me today, with a little help of some state-of-the-art props. My wife has given me this beautiful ball of knitting wool and a scissors. You know, the eternal purpose is just that. It's eternal. It's that God, way before the beginning, in his eternal heart and his counsel, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, decided, I'm going to bring a purpose about that involves this thing called humanity on planet Earth. And I'm going to do it to defy all the powers of darkness that have rebelled against me to show that I'm God. And God wanted a partnership in that. And I don't know when God held that counsel. In fact, it frazzles my brain to think about it. But to understand that God, even before the foundation of the world, determined in his heart, he's going to reveal something unique called his eternal purpose. And he's going to do it through you and through me. Isn't that awesome? And so, I'm not going to be able to describe eternity to you with a ball of wool. This ball of wool is going to have a beginning and an end to it. The eternal purpose is eternal for very good reason. It doesn't have a beginning and an end. But I want you to imagine it kind of represents it. So, could you hold over here the beginning of the eternal purpose, my friend? Because you look like an alpha kind of guy. Just, if you could stay right there, just in case I run out of wool. We'll keep going, see if we can get right the way over here, which is why I needed a whole ball of wool. Would you hold this? Great. Oh, that's not too bad. Just hold that there. I'm not going to cut your fingers off. Great. Oop, drop the wool. Don't drop the eternal purpose. Right, that's great. You could both stand. That'd be great so people can see it. Watch out for the flowers. So Paul says the very crux of the eternal purpose is that he is bringing everything under the headship of Christ. So the very crux, the word crux means cross, doesn't it? The very center between eternity past and eternity to come, we have the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And his mission, his apostolic purpose, which is what he was opening the man's eyes to and that generation's eyes to at the time, was he was going to come as man. He's going to become incarnate. The Word made flesh. And he was going to lay down his life for the sins of the entire world and rise from the dead and defeat death, defeat sin, and defeat Satan. But more than that, he was going to call sinful humanity, sorry, it's resting on my head, sinful humanity to come and sit with him through that cross, resurrection, and ascension to rule over those very things. It's called the church. And Paul is trying to paint this apostolic picture, this revelation of God's authority in man through the Ephesian church through Paul. So we've got to remember, number one in the eternal purpose is Jesus is supreme. You cannot realize or see the eternal purpose without first having your eyes open to Jesus. He is supremely Lord over creation. And over all the heavens and the earth, there is nothing that is not left under him. He's made them a footstool for his feet. The second thing that God is doing from the beginning to the end and beyond those things, he's bringing that rule of his son, it's called the kingdom, into planet Earth. You see, it's one thing for Jesus to do what he does. It's another thing to bring that rule through the hearts of men and women into planet Earth. God is revealing his kingdom in planet Earth. Despite what the world does right now, the kingdom is at work. You've got to have faith to see it. It can be invisible at times, even dark at times, but Jesus is the light of the world. So the kingdom is at work in this earth. The third revelation that Jesus brings regarding this eternal purpose is he is building in Matthew 16 this thing called the church. He is building a house for his Father of sons and daughters. In fact, Paul says this in this section. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So God isn't just bringing the revelation of his son and his headship. He isn't just bringing his rule into planet Earth. He's doing it through this beautiful thing that he is building called the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why I believe in the local church. Because you are the vessel of that kingdom he's bringing. And you are the revelation of his headship. So this is the eternal purpose. If you can remember those three things, they are the major building blocks of everything God does. In fact, I would say this, just like in Matthew 16, if any voice denies those three things, it's probably demonic. It's what happened after the revelation of Peter. He then, a few verses later, spoke under demonic inspiration and said, "It shall not be, Lord." You've got to remember, Jesus is supreme. There's no other name. Number two, his kingdom will know no end. And it is at work in planet Earth. Number three, he's building his house, his church. And the gates of Hades will not succeed against it. So you've got this beautiful thing, the eternal purpose. It's like a giant thread or umbrella over all the church is doing. Now, Paul knows that that's all well and good. You could have this as your theology in your mind and heart. But it's got to go deeper than that. It's got to become action. There's got to be an obedience to this eternal purpose. So this is why we have apostles, to say there's an eternal purpose, take a hold of it and bring it into planet Earth. God's authority through Christ, through the church, must be expressed. And that's Paul's prayer for this reason. I'm praying. You've got to wash in the pool of Siloam. You've got to see the apostolic with new eyes. You've got to go and wash in it, even if it looks offensive to you, with mud and spit. Get in there. Grab a hold of the eternal purpose. Open your eyes to see what God is working out. And so, it says also in Acts chapter 13, 36, that when David, King David, served God's purpose for his generation, what happened to him? He fell asleep, he died. That doesn't sound very glorious, does it? So, God, for thousands of years, has had men and women, generations, who have served a part of God's purpose, and then they died. Oh, is that all? Well, yeah, it was a glorious thing for David. Because David knew one day he'd rise again. But David served that purpose all his life for his generation. And God has had generations of the church for a given season of time fulfill their part in the eternal purpose. And you think with me, even after the dark ages, God had generations rise up to tie themselves back in to the eternal purpose. You think of the guys that brought us the Bible for every common man, the Wycliffes. And men like that, who were burned at the stake, so that you could have holding in your hand this morning, a Bible. They served God's purpose for their generation by putting the Bible into your hands, and they died. They got killed. And then you have the Luthers and the Calvins. They saw that we could be justified through faith by the grace of God. By faith alone, by grace alone. Not of works that any man should boast. You are sitting here today because of the free gift of salvation that they saw with apostolic eyes. They were serving a greater purpose than themselves. They left a legacy for the church. and they died. And then you had the men in the 1700s, the Wesleys, the Whitfields, many others with them, who took it further and further, and they proclaimed the gospel to every creature, and they methodically discipled God's people. They left behind a deposit of the eternal purpose. It's like one layer upon one layer, and gradually you see this building going up and up and up. We're here today, and Britain is still barely a Christian country because of those men. Because they served God's purpose, just like David, for their generation, and they died. And then in the 1800s, you had the Spurgeons, the Finneys, the Moody's. The revivals that went from Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England, and America, and Canada. They started to experience the moving of the Holy Spirit, and it led into the Pentecostal outpouring of the early 1900s. In Wales, men like the Jeffreys brothers, Daniel Williams from Penygroes, and many others in England, Smith Wigglesworth, and all those people, they served something of the eternal purpose for their generation. They left behind the experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. They served God's purpose, they died, and they left behind a legacy for the church. And then in the 40s and 50s in Canada, a move of God happened that touched the northwest of America and Canada, called the Latter Rain. And they began to see that God was building the church according to his pattern. They began to have a vision for the body of Christ. The charismatic renewal came out of that move. Do you see, they served something of God's purpose. They left behind a truth for us to carry. And then they died. And then the charismatic renewal. And in Wales, we had people like Bryn and Kerry Jones and others who began to see that God was restoring his church. They left behind a legacy for us. They served God's purpose for their generation and they died. And then we had in the 90s the moves of God in Toronto and Pensacola. And we've kind of been left hanging in limbo. We've kind of been going, well, what now, Father? You shook us up. You visited us. But what revelation of truth are you leaving behind? And I think all that has happened the last 2 to 3 years in Britain, God is setting up his people to reveal something of his character. There's a new aspect of truth coming to the body of Christ. Not new from the Bible. It's going to be in that word. Because we're word people, right? But something's going to be revealed out of this scripture that the church is going to run with in a brand new way. And we're going to serve God's purpose for our generation, and then we'll die. So, I want you to know, God is doing something bigger than we realize in this earth. His Son is supreme. The kingdom is at work. And the house of God will go up. But every generation has to play their part in laying a brick upon brick upon brick for that whole thing to go right up for all the powers of darkness to see that Jesus has won the war. And he's fulfilling it through a bride for himself. And when he's finished it, he's going to hand it back to God the Father and say, it's done. I want to be there when that happens. I want to say, I served God's purpose for my generation. And then I fell asleep. So Paul is wanting to convey all of these truths. He's like, Ephesian church, you've got to know the hope of your calling. Ephesian church, you've got to understand why you're here. You're not just a prophetic people, an evangelistic people, a pastoral people, or a teaching group. You are called to wash your eyes in the apostolic and see it with fresh eyesight. So Paul doesn't just leave it there. As an apostle, he wants the church. Your hands tired yet? No. Your eyes, I hope your eyes aren't tired. We're trying to open your eyes, right? As an apostle, he then goes on further because he really wants to drill this home. He's prayed. For this reason, I've prayed that you grasp this. And so he goes from the eternal purpose to the purpose for each generation. then to what we call a stewardship of the apostolic purpose, or an administration. He says in Ephesians 3 and verse 2, surely you have heard about the administration or stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation. So Paul wants the people to know the eternal purpose. He wants them to understand what their generation is called to do. But he also wants them to understand how they're going to do it. So you can have a grand plan. You can even have an idea of what's happening in the world right now. But the vine and Bregenz need to understand what they do to steward it. And Paul's prayer is that the Ephesian church not only know up here, but they fulfill down here. So he prays for stewardship, that they would understand how to radically obey the eternal purpose of God in Christ, and to see Bregenz come under it. You with me? Bregenz has to come under this eternal purpose. And it needs people like you and me. Not, you think of Wesley, you think of Evan Roberts and all these people, you think of superstars. No, they were men just like us. In fact, they'd have upset us if we'd have seen them face to face. They'd have had warts and all. But God is looking for everyday people who understand that they're called according to his purpose. They're going to have their eyes washed in the apostolic pool with mud and saliva, and have their eyes opened to the apostolic. That God is bringing the headship of his son into this world. And he wants to do it particularly through you to Bregenz. This is how it works. This is where the nitty-gritty gets going. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 to Timothy, entrust these things to faithful men who will pass them on to others. So Paul understands that which he has received from the Lord, that which he has passed on to Timothy, Timothy must in likewise pass it on to faithful or trustworthy men who themselves will pass it on. That's how we administrate and steward the vision of God's eternal purpose. It's got to get in each one of us. You've got to have your own eyes opened with saliva and mud. I'm not going to literally do that this morning, you'll be glad to know. I haven't got that in my prop bag. You've got to have your eyes opened and say, God, what are you doing in our generation that's going to fulfill this? And God, how am I going to be entrusted with that message? How am I going to work it out in the context of this church? And God, how are we going to pass it on to the next generation? Because listen, the church is not teaching the eternal purpose like it should be right now. It's a forgotten truth. And yet the whole of Ephesians and Colossians are filled with this kind of talk. We're missing out on gold nuggets in the body. Because the church is called primarily to serve God's purpose. That's why we're here, folks. Amen? So, we've got to have our eyes opened. And we've got to say to the Lord, I want to be tied into your eternal purpose. Just like those generations I mentioned earlier, who tied in, their eyes opened, they grabbed a hold of it. We've got to tie in for our generation. And then we've got to hand it on to the next generation. And they've got to hand it on to the next generation. Because God wants our eyes open to his apostolic purpose for planet Earth. He wants to bring everything under the headship of his son. And he wants the people who are going to fulfill it directly in their geographic regions. So what I want to do this morning, I want to now get some strands of the eternal purpose prepared for by my able assistant, Helen Yeoman. And I want you to imagine with me, since the advent of the church, the men and women I mentioned to you, there's many more, I'm just giving you some headlines. You know, who wants to represent John Wycliffe? Got any John Wycliffe? Who loves the word of God? Come on, Andrew. Come and be a John Wycliffe. I want you to tie this piece of thread onto this part of the eternal purpose since the Dark Ages. I don't want you to just stand there holding it as if you're John Wycliffe. All right? Yeah. I'm not going to get all the great patriarchs of the faith out. It'd be thousands, wouldn't there? Who wants to be Martin Luther? Come on. I need a Martin Luther. I need a bald monk. Oh, you'll do. Come on then. He's not very bald, but he'll do. Go up closer to Andrew, if you would. Tie that one in and stand there. Then I need a Wesley or a Whitfield. Who's going to be a Wesley or a Whitfield? Oh, I knew you were going to respond to that one. I knew it. I just knew it. I've known this man too long. And then we want some... Who wants to be a Spurgeon? Oh, gosh, everyone wants to be Spurgeon, don't they? You're related to Spurgeon, but I think you better get in there, don't you? And then who wants to be a Jeffreys brother, seeing as they're not far from here, are they, where they were born? My stag, yeah. Come on then. Tie in there just after our other sister. And then who wants to be a Lateraner? You know less about that move than most others, I bet. But trust me, it's needed. Come on, we just need someone. Well done. And then who wants to be a charismatic renewaler? Anyone? Good. And then we've had the 90s, and I said how there's been a lull in God's purpose. Not because God's hands are tied, it's because he's waiting for his appointed time. And this is the challenge I want to put to you today. Who wants to tie in to the next thing God's going to reveal on the back of this? Not in spite of it, not without it, but following on from everything he's done to God's eternal purpose for this generation. And say, I'm going to link to see it fulfilled as a stewardship in Bridgend and the region beyond. Because tying into the eternal purpose is a dangerous thing. You've got to have your eyes open to see. You've got to have a heart that receives it. And you've got an obedience that says, I'm going to fulfill it for my day and generation. So who wants to tie in for today? Well, we've got a bit more now. And I'll release you former guys, you dead ones, to come and join with the living. All right? Because you've tied in representing them. But come and pick up a piece of rope here or knitting wool. And from here, say, God, I want to serve God's purpose for today, my generation, before you take me. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Listen, the Vine Church is not here for any other purpose other than the eternal purpose. But you've got to have your eyes opened this morning to the apostolic purpose of God. You've got to be humble like that man who was blind. Sometimes you've got to be so humble, you've got to allow mud and saliva to go into your eyes. You've got to say, Lord, I'm willing to see. You've got to say, Lord, I'm willing to be tied into something. You know, when I was 19, I was a youth leader. I was younger than Alex was a youth leader. And I was doing my thing. I thought I could just serve God in a little way and win a few people to the Lord and just, you know, have a good time. But I went to a move of God at 19 years old for 1 week with a friend of mine. And God so visited me that week. And he came to me and he said, Andrew, I don't want you to tie in for a bit of what I want to do. I want you to buy in to all that I'm going to do. I want you to tie into my eternal purpose. And it's going to demand your life. But I promise you, God said, if you do it, the blessing will far exceed the cost you have to pay. And you know something? There is a cost to buying in and tying into the eternal purpose. Because people will ridicule you. You know, a few years ago, I knew of a man that preached on the eternal purpose in another church in Wales. And the pastor came up to him, irritated, because he'd mentioned those two words, eternal purpose. Do you know who that was, Peter? I think it was you, actually. You weren't the irritated one. You were the preacher. And I was so grieved, because how far have we fallen? Whose purpose are we serving anyway? Right? And so God comes to us in his grace. And he's saying, Church in Wales, you're blind. Because Jesus comes to open blind eyes. He says, I'm the light of the world. And I'm coming to display in what I'm about to do a miracle to reveal the works of him who sent me. I'm coming to display apostolic grace. But you've got to have your eyes opened. And you've got to allow the Lord to put his saliva in your eyes. Now, I still don't get that to this day, why he did. Do you know he did that three times? For two sets of eyes, a set of ears, and a tongue. The offense of it must have been horrific. But sometimes we've got to stoop down low to see the high and lofty thing. And he's rubbing this mud and saliva this morning. And like Paul, I'm praying, God, open their eyes. God, open their eyes to see the eternal purpose. God, show them how it applies in their generation. And show them how they're to see it come to pass in Wales. Because Wales needs a visitation of the apostolic. I don't mean more apostles. I mean more apostolically minded churches. Which is why we need apostles, by the way. Apostles are not an end in themselves. They are the means by which God gets a people to fulfill his eternal purpose. So, a prophet prophesies. An evangelist evangelizes. What does an apostle do? He links people into the eternal purpose. And he sees them sent out to fulfill it. For this reason, Jesus said, I've been sent. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. As you've stepped out, practically and in faith, that God's going to open the eyes of the blind. That you will run in a brand new way. And God will begin to open up to you what it is to be an apostolic people. Because Wales needs apostolic churches. So God, you've heard our words. We've read your eternal word. And we pray, like Paul, that the eyes of our heart be opened. Lord, we look back and we see all that you have done. And we don't dismiss it, we build upon it. But neither do we allow it to limit our vision for the future. And we ask you for this day, for this generation, reveal the will of God and the purpose of God. That a people may see it, they may tie into it, and they may run with it. God, in the vine, I especially ask you, wash us in the apostolic pool. Open blinded eyes. I pray that even from today, in a submitted, humble way, we will agitate Alex as a people and say, we need to get in on the apostolic move. God, I pray, put the saliva and mud in our eyes. Because for judgment, you've come into this world, that the blind may see. And those that think they can see will become blind. Lord, I pray we'll not be so proud that we think we know it all. But God will say, I can't see everything, Lord. Help me to see. I'm blind. Help me to see the apostolic vision you have for Wales. And help me to open my eyes to it. Help me to tie into it. Help me to run with it. I pray for the young men of this house. Whether they're up here or not, God, open their eyes. And let them run with Alex in a whole new way in the days and seasons ahead. And let them get agitated by this word this morning. Let it not leave their thinking. I pray as they lay their heads on the pillow tonight, this word apostolic will be ringing in their hearts. It will be disturbing them until they dig deeper and deeper to find out what it is God is saying to his church. But we pray, open our eyes. Open our hearts, Lord. And fulfill your eternal purpose for this generation and for Wales and for all ages to come. In Jesus' name. I just want to do one thing to make this very personal. I want to pray for Ben. Is that okay, Ben? Is that okay, Alex? Stretch your hands towards Ben. And I just want to pray this blessing over you, my brother. that the Lord's going to open your eyes to see the cause of Christ in a whole new way. God, get it down deep in his spirit. And I pray, Lord, that he will begin to run with this vision, even though it only may be a glimpse this morning, a shaft of light. Let it become a blazing light to his vision in the days ahead. Even as you visited Saul, who became Paul, let the blinding light of Jesus and his apostolic call even dawn in his own heart for the sake of this church, but also for the sake of Bridgend and for Wales. You are looking for those that have their eyes opened, will tie in and will run. In Jesus' name, we bless your people, all of us together. We say, amen.